Today, what I want to share to you as graduates, but also the church family, I've entitled my message, What's Baked in Your Cake? Look to your neighbor and say, what's baked in your cake? Every single graduation party that I've ever been to has had cake in one form or another. It wouldn't be a graduation party if there wasn't cake. And I know some of you are like, well, cupcakes. Cupcakes are still cake, okay? They're just in little individual sizes so people don't eat too much. And I which is weird, though, because there's always cake left over. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you could have, there's always cake left over. The mom's usually like, please, would you take some cake? But I've noticed there's usually two different cakes at every grad party. On one side, you have your chocolate. Any chocolate people here? Who's vanilla? Is anybody vanilla? Yeah. Wow, it's about 50-50. Now, there's the one that's like a blend of the two, right? What was that? Marble? Who? Any marble people? Any red velvet people in this place? Pastor Jeff, I know he is. Red velvet. What's another one? Lemon? I ain't eating the lemon one. If you do lemon, I don't know. Lemons, let's not mess it up here. Strawberry? Confetti? Yeah, cheesecake. Wow. Hey, listen. If you have a grad party, if any of you have a grad party with cheesecake, I will be there. I can promise you that. I love cake. Obviously, I love cake. But here's the deal. Whenever you bake a cake, you have to have a recipe. There are certain ingredients that go inside of a cake that make it taste the way you want it to taste. If I told you I made a chocolate cake, but it didn't have chocolate in it, it wouldn't be a chocolate cake anymore. There are certain things that you have to put in. This much flour, sugar, salt, chocolate, whatever. There's a recipe for what you're trying to create. And what I want to ask you today is what's baked in your cake? In your life, as graduates and even all of us here that are earshot, what's baked in our cake? What are we baking for our cake of our life to look like? You know, what are we trying to become? What is our top priority? You could also add in there, what are we listening to? Who are we listening to? What are our morals and our habits? What's baked in the cake? When you get the batter, what's in it? So I got a little illustration for you today. And in good fun, I even have an apron.
Hold on.
Hold on. Hold, yeah, there it is. Never thought you'd see. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how, yep. Today, we are baking a cake, and let's be honest, we want our cake to be successful, right? Nobody ever says, I want my cake to taste nasty. Maybe some sick individual does, I don't know. But nobody ever says, I want to make a nasty cake. They want their cake to be successful. They want, at the end result, for people to enjoy it. So today, we're asking, what is in our cake? Are we making a success? Is our cake a success? Now, here's the question. Remember, we did this series called The Upside Down Kingdom. If you remember, if you don't, I'll just tell you real quick. We are living, as we are born, in the kingdom of this world, which I call upside down. It's screwed up. It's messed up. The world does not have any part of God when we are born. We are born without him. So when we come into his kingdom, when we say yes to Jesus, that you will be the king of my life, what we are saying is, we are saying, I pledge allegiance now to the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is invading. The kingdom of God is advancing. It's moving. And as it's moving, we are in that while we live in this kingdom. You physically live in the kingdom of this world, but you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, with that being said, the kingdom of this world, the upside down kingdom, they define success different than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world says this: success is being independent, wealthy, and powerful. Independent, wealthy, and powerful. But the kingdom of God says that success is being dependent, content, faithfully submitted. Faithfully submitted. I want to say it again just in case you didn't get it. The upside down kingdom, think of the world, says independence, wealthy and powerful. But the kingdom of God says dependent, content, and faithfully submitted. It's so upside down. I can't wear it. It's blowing all over the place. You got the visual.
Okay.
Thank you, Heidi. That was very nice. Okay. So listen, what's baked in your cake? What's in the recipe? What are you putting into the ingredients of your cake? I even have here today, as we go through, we will have right here, I got a mixing bowl. So that'll work, okay? And this really big spoon that I used for making Kool-Aid for many years because it gets down in there. So it's really good. All right. So what's in there? I want to read to you. I want to break down those three different kingdom of God ingredients of success by using an illustration that Jesus used. It comes in John 15, if you have your Bibles or devices. John 15, 1 through 8. Jesus says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word of God I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You remain in me and I in you. You will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into a fire and burned. But if you do remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. For this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So the first thing that we got here, if we're putting our ingredients into our cake batter, is dependence on God. Dependence on God. Remember, the world says independence, but in the batter, stir it up. There you go. Visual. That'll stick in your brain forever, especially me wearing that girl's apron. Dependence means this. It means a person who relies on another. My daughters are 3, 6, and 9. Yep, if you're new here to PCF, I have 3 daughters. 3, 6, and 9. There's a lot of estrogen in my house. Now, those girls are dependent on me and my wife for their lives. They are dependent. They can't drive. They got no jobs. They can't gather food. And without Jess and I, they would be D-E-D dead. Right? Some of you like that. You get it again. I found out it came from Men in Tights. Apparently, it got stuck in my brain somewhere. So if you ever watch that movie, D-E-D, dead. They are so dependent on us as children. They're dependent on us because they can't do anything without us. They can't eat. They can't drive somewhere. And it's funny because kids are so oblivious to time, aren't they? It'll be like 8:30 at night trying to get them to bed. And they'll be like, Dad, can you drive to the store and get me a chocolate milk? No, I can't. Well, okay, I'll drive. No, you can't drive. That's the problem. They're so dependent on us. In fact, the government gives me a tax credit because they're dependent. We call them dependents. Somebody who is depending on you to live. Now, in our culture, we hear you don't want dependence, you want independence. In our culture, we hear you got to do it on your own. We hear, do what you want, or if it makes you happy, then it must be good. Or how about the great Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. It's all about independence. Everything our culture says, if you want to be successful, you have to do it on your own. But God is saying, in my kingdom, you have to do it with me. You have to rely on me. He's calling us to be dependent on him. In this passage I just read to you about Jesus, he says this. In verse 4, he says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You can't do it on your own. But then if that wasn't clear enough, he says it again in verse 5. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And he says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our culture says you can do it on your own. God says you can't do anything without me. We have an upside down view. So when you hear the world say you got to do it on your own, you say, I can't. I can only do it with God. That's it. Paul, the Apostle Paul says it. He says the same thing. He can't live. He can't do anything. But he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not through me. Not through Zach. Zach doing everything doesn't work. Caleb doing everything doesn't work. We have to be reliant on God, depending on God, as if we are children who can't do anything without him. In fact, you know, as a child is dependent on their parents, we must depend on God. And it reminds me of how many of you called your dad daddy growing up? Anybody when you're little? I know not now. Come on. Any of it? No? Daddy? You did, okay? But there came a point where you changed it. Henry was telling me he called him Papa, and then it, or Pops or something. Who was telling me that? Nate was telling me that. So, you know, you have a moment where it changes. Now, what I think is funny is that moment comes when there's independence coming. When a child stops calling their dad daddy and starts calling him dad, or in my case, Josh, which I don't like, it's because they're becoming more independent. They're becoming more independent, so now, and that's fine. Listen, I'm not calling, people who call their dad daddy, especially men in their 40s, it's weird, a little weird. So I'm not saying that you have to call your dad daddy, but you should never stop calling your earth or your heavenly father daddy. Your heavenly father, actually the word we have is Abba. Has anybody ever heard that? It's a deep relationship and dependence that's like calling him daddy. Now again, people who pray in public circles and call him daddy, it's a little weird for me. But still, we should be relying on him and seeing him as our daddy who gives us everything that we need. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I can't live without you. And Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. Dependence on God is the ingredient that we need in our cake. We need to put the dependence on God. Do we feel like we can do it on our own? Because as we read, Jesus says you can't. I wrote down a couple of thoughts of being dependent on God I want to show with you today. Being dependent on God leaves room for the working of God in your daily life. Think about that. Being dependent on him means that you now are so closely related to him, so much in communication, that he can work in your life and do things that you normally wouldn't do. Because you're reliant on him. I'm going to be honest, there's going to be times where God's going to ask you to do things and you're not going to want to do them. But there's a moment where God is trying to produce fruit in your life and he needs you to be dependent on him. He doesn't need you to be trying to go away from him, because we find out that that tree don't live. Being dependent on God acknowledges that he's the one that opens and closes doors. It recognizes that he's not concerned with the outward trappings of success. As you're dependent on God, you realize the world says it's independent, but I know I got to be dependent on my king. A dependent heart says, God, I'm nothing without you, and I can't do it without you. Is it baked in your cake? The second one is a word that's not very popular at all, is contentment. This ingredient gets baked into our cake of contentment. We'll put it in. We'll stir it up. Stir the batter. Anybody eat batter, cake batter? Yeah, my kids do all the time. I don't know. Ever since I started putting eggs in there, raw eggs, it just makes me feel weird, so I don't do it anymore. Content or contentment. In this passage we read in John 15 that I read, I want you to notice that Jesus does not describe the branches as, he's described them as being dependent, but what he doesn't describe them is saying, I don't have enough. I don't have enough, God. That branch is getting way more fruit than I am. God, I want that kind of fruit on that branch. Jesus says, no. No, you have to be content with the fruit that you have. What Jesus does say is that if you remain in him, you will bear fruit. There's the promise. You will bear fruit. In this upside-down world that wants wealth, comfort, money, possessions, the truth is, it's never enough. I want you to remember that. It's never enough. Why? Because baked into the cake in our world is this unattainable goal to have wealth, comfort, money, and possessions. It's unattainable. You can't have enough. See, while the world might say that wealth, fortune, comfort, possessions are successful, what the world is unknowingly saying when they say that, they're actually advocating for discontentment. When they say all you need is the money, all you need is the right house, all you need is this, what they're really preaching is discontentment. Discontentment means dissatisfied with one's circumstances. Dissatisfied with one's circumstances. The world wants what they can't have. That is the upside down kingdom. Now, graduates, maybe you'll track with this. Okay. I don't know how many of you are gamers, but you've heard of the PlayStation 5, right? You've heard of this device, this console. Have you noticed you can't buy it? It doesn't exist. Now, for those that don't know, PlayStation 5 is a video game console, and the problem is they had a release date, but you can't buy it because there are none. There's only a certain amount that they're releasing at the quote-unquote release date. Do you know why they're doing that? Because they want you to want what you can't have. They're brilliant because at one point they'll open the floodgates and all those will be unlocked. And everybody who's been living with discontentment, again, they are not happy. They're dissatisfied with the content with their life circumstances, that when it is released, they're going to be like, wow, I needed that. I needed that and I finally can get it. They're breeding on the sin of our lives that we always want what we can't have. And they make a lot of money for it. And so go for it, I guess, whatever you want to do. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the phone. Maybe it's your phone. Like my phone, it's the XR or whatever. It's just got one camera. And then they came out one that had two. And I saw people go, well, man, I got one camera. I got to get two. I have to get it. And now there's three. And I looked it up the other day. There's a Samsung phone with five cameras. You do not need five cameras. You are not going to be, unless you're Jeremy, going to film school. That's cool. Okay, but you don't need five cameras on your phone taking selfies with you and your grandkids, right? And I don't know about you, but I got one camera to clean off so it's not all messed up. I don't need five. But the world says they keep coming up with more things that we need because they want us to be discontent so that we will keep trying to grasp, quote-unquote, success so we feel like we're successful. But we never do. It doesn't just stop with technology. It's also people who say, well, if I only made this amount of dollars, then I'd be happy. It's coming. Trust me, it's coming. I don't care where you work. It's coming. That will be the temptation that Pastor Jeff spoke of, will be the temptation to say, I'd be happier if I made more money. Or I need that new car. I need it. I need that new car. I need a new car. My car stinks. And then you buy a new car, and that one's just as bad as your last one. Just takes a little bit longer to get there. If I just had that car, look at the all-wheel drive. I just need that. It's like always something. We can bring it into our families and our relationships. We can even bring it, listen, we can even bring that into the outlook that we have in life. this feeling of discontentment, being dissatisfied with our current circumstances. Maybe where you live, maybe right now you're like, if I could just get out of mom and dad's house, oh, then I'll be happy. And if you don't, you're devastated. See, that's the problem. Well, you will. I pray you will. Please, you should leave your parents' house. Please, some of your parents are like, can I get a witness? Yeah, get them out of here. It's called empty nest syndrome for a reason, because there's nothing in the nest, okay? If I only, you know, it's not just that, or it could be the, you know, everybody wants to, no matter what state they're in, they hate their state and they want to move to another state. Have you noticed that? And I love when I hear stories that people left because they hated this state. They went down to another state and they're there for a few years and they say, this state stinks too. I'm going back to New York. The grass is always greener on the other side. But it's discontentment. And you can pick it out in others. The thing is, will you be able to pick it out in yourself? See, wealth, comfort, possessions, if they're baked in your cake, it's going to be a whole lot of discontentment. Researchers say the reason why money doesn't buy happiness is that people may get used to their higher income, but they never tire of being admired by others. It's unattainable. It's fruitless. Again, remember Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything. So why are we pursuing things that will never give us happiness? Again, discontentment is dissatisfaction with one's circumstances, and contentment is the state of being satisfied and happy. Let me say that again. Satisfied and happy is being content with the things of God and the things that he's given you. Bake that into your cake. Not the one that's trying to strive for what you can't get. The Apostle Paul talks about this. I love it. Apostle Paul says this. He's in prison while he's writing this. I want to make that clear. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He says, I've learned the secret. I want to know the secret. Do you want to know the secret? The secret of being content in everything and every situation. Whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Again, depending on him. Being content in every situation. I believe just a few verses earlier in this passage here in Philippians 4. Again, he's in prison when he's saying that. Think about that circumstance. I know some of you feel like you're in prison now. Okay, it's not prison. He's in literal prison, and it wasn't as nice as ours. He says in just a few verses earlier, he says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I believe that's the secret of being content. I believe he's telling us that we need to fix our eyes and our hearts on the positive, on God, first of all, because that's where our strength comes from, but also the positive in our world. Can I tell you guys today, out there, whoever's listening, there is positive things that God's doing in this world. I've noticed this. You ever have a shower thought? It's like it pops up in your head and then you forget it later. I wrote it down while I was trying to get all the water off my hands because I felt like this was a good God moment, right? Here's what I noticed. Some people look for the negative. Some people look for the positive, and both of those people find what they're looking for. Negative people are those who are looking and searching for negative things. They're dissatisfied with their current circumstances. They are discontent. and they find what they're looking for. If you don't believe me, just go on social media. And if you can't find anybody, then it's probably you. Come on. But positive people are those looking for the positive in things. At your job, Aiden, you mentioned you might be going into body work. And I've seen the work you do, and it's incredible. If you got a ding in your car, go see Aiden. And he does incredible stuff. But you'll have moments, or Jeremy, you guys will all have moments where you will be tempted to look at the negative. And you will find it. But I promise you, God is doing great things. We got to be positive people. Can I just say that? As Christians, we should be the people not complaining, but the people proclaiming how great God is. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of negative out there. There's a lot of discontentment. We should be content. Paul is in jail for preaching the gospel, and he says he is content. He's not complaining. He's not arguing. He's not saying, woe is me. He's not getting on whatever Facebook was back there on a tablet. I don't know. He's content because he's thinking of God and he's looking for the positive. You know, a negative person saying, my job stinks. My boss stinks. My parents stink. My school stinks. My spouse stinks. My car stinks. My house stinks. My kids stinks. My state stinks. They always find the negative. But Paul is saying, he's telling us as Christians, for those in the kingdom of God, bake this positive-looking contentment in your cake of your life. Put it in the batter and stir it up. Don't be putting in the dissatisfaction, this dissatisfied, the discontentment that the world is saying is success. How upside down is that? You got to keep going. It's a rat race. Keep trying. Keep getting. You got to obtain. You got to get bigger. You got to get stronger. You got to make sure you have more money, the right house, all this kind of stuff. It breeds discontentment. I believe Paul was focused on the things of God, and he was focused on the good. And I believe that's why so many people came to Christ. I really do. I believe so many people were attracted to, this world does stink. But what is it? Why is he content with it? Because he has Jesus. And we need Jesus in our lives. We need to be dependent on God and put contentment in the cake of our lives. And finally, last one is faithfully submitted, or faithfulness and submitted. In our last text here that we've been reading out of John with the vine, Jesus is talking about the vine, and if you remember, he says these words, remain in me. He actually says the word remain a total of 8 times. I think that means that's very important, don't you all? And when you read this in the Greek, this word remain means this word meno, M-E-N-O, meno. And it means to remain, to abide, to stay, or to live. To live. Now think about it when we're talking about the vine. If you don't stay connected to the vine, you die. Spiritually, you die. I believe that Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is being faithful. If we remain in him, we abide in him, we end up living with him. We're consistently living with God. Day, night, we are attached to the vine. We are connected, not disconnected. I know the vine, I was talking about Pastor Jeff this morning. I know the vine is not how we think, so I want to put it into terms that you all will understand. If you are on Wi-Fi, like right now, there's a Wi-Fi thing right here. Do you see it? It's right here. We bring it down so we can live stream the service and all that. Here it is, okay? And you plug in your phone and you connect to it and you put in the password. You got all that. That's like saying, yes, Jesus, give me the password. Jesus says, okay, you're a Christian. You're a follower of me. He's saying, stay connected to the Wi-Fi. Don't wander too far off, because if you do, you're disconnected. And I know for you guys, you realize that's death. No internet? Done. I ain't doing that. Jesus is saying, stay connected to me. Don't go wandering off into a dead zone, because when you do, you are D-E-D dead. Now listen, it's not God that's disconnecting. Do you notice that? I don't see God concerned. Jesus isn't concerned with him disconnecting from you. He's reliable. Trust me, his connection is great. It's like 5G. It's awesome. He's not concerned with that. He is concerned with us drifting away from him. He's worried about us disconnecting from him, and he's saying, remain in me. I'll remain in you. But if you remain in me, if you're faithful to me, then listen, you have life. You're going to bear fruit. That sounds like a good cake. Amen? Here's the problem, though. You can't be faithful to God if you're not submitted. You can't be faithful if you're not submitted. The two go hand in hand. See, the upside-down kingdom wants to have power and control, but faithfulness comes from submitting and giving up power and control. It's backwards. The world would call you weak for giving up control and submitting to God, and he calls you strong. Think of it like this. You can't go to your boss, if you have one, and say, I'm a faithful employee. But then you're unable to submit to your boss and what your boss says, then you're not a faithful employee. You're not. You're a terrible employee, and then you'll be fired. F-I-R-D, fired, made up a new one. I did homeschooling too, bro, see? Now, then I went to public school and almost failed. So you guys are awesome. Y'all made it. Listen, baked in the cake of our lives should be the submission to God and his will. Submitting our power and submitting our control to him, because we can't be faithful to God if we're still the ones thinking that we're in power and we have the control. You can't. When I graduated college, I felt like God called me to this church in Myrtle Beach. I know what some of you are saying. Of course you heard God call you to the beach. That's right. He called me there. Deal with it, okay? I thought it was going to be great, too. I was promised a job. I was told, if you come down here, you're going to serve. You're going to come on staff. I got down there. There ain't no job. I wanted to leave the second I got in that door and realized there wasn't a job. But it was not a great situation, and like a carrot being dangled over my head, they said, hey, just wait. In the fall, we'll have the finances. We can bring you on. The fall came and left. December came around. They hired somebody new. they hired somebody else while I'm still working there for free. It was weird. Working at Papa John's, slinging pizza dough. Not fun. Not what I went down there for. And I wanted to leave. Everything within me wanted to leave. Then the woman that they hired, that they said was for the position for me, quit a week before Christmas. And I had to fill in for her. So I saved the day. Then 3 months later, they hired the pastor's daughter-in-law. And this continued to happen for years. And for years, I in my heart wanted to leave. I wanted to. And I can remember the day that I said to God, God, I want to leave. And he said, I feel like it was like as he was speaking to me, he said, Josh, who called you to Myrtle Beach? You did. And then he said, who told you to leave? I did. I knew that in that moment that if I was to leave then, I would be rebelling against what God told me to do. He called me to Myrtle Beach. He didn't call me to a job in Myrtle Beach. I was at Papa John's. I worked at Papa John's. Oh, gosh. A copier place. I got fired from Papa John's and went back. I hit a guy with a piece of dough. It's a long story. He punched me in the head. We're playing. I threw some dough. It hit him in the head. He got mad. He punched me, and then I got fired. It was weird. But then they hired me back. I worked at Chick-fil-A for 2 days. I hated it so much, and I said, I can't hate a place I love. So I love Chick-fil-A. So then after that, I was at John Deere Landscapes. I delivered lost luggage. I sold cell phones, and I delivered mattresses. All those jobs, and not one of them was the job I went down there for, right? But I knew that if I gave up on the process and didn't leave when God told me to leave, then I was going to be giving away an inheritance and I would be disconnecting from the vine because the vine that I was attached to said stay. But I wanted to do what Josh Whippy wanted to do. But you can't be faithful if you're not submitted. So then I can remember it was in December of 2007, Pastor Jeff gave me a call and said, you know, I've been praying, Lord, come on, I don't want to do this on my own. And I didn't call you, you called me. And he called me and said, would you like to come serve at Pioneer Christian Fellowship? And I said, wait, for a job or just to work? Like, what is this? Can you be clear? Because it's been a long 3 years. But listen, that's what I'm trying to say is that we got to keep serving God. We got to keep remaining in him, being faithful to God, being faithfully serving him and doing what he's saying. And I promise you, if that would have happened, if I would have left, and if I put God in the rearview mirror, and I took matters into my own hands, I would not be where I am today. It was hard. How many of y'all can tell him right now it's going to be hard? But do not disconnect from the Wi-Fi. Do not disconnect. Put faithfulness and submit it into your cake. Bake it into your life. There will be times in your life where you're tempted to take matters into your own hands, but that's not faithfulness, that's selfishness. Stay faithful, remain in him. Bake faithfulness and submission into your cake. I'm going to close with you this morning, and I want to go back to the original premise of my sermon. We spoke about what success looks like. We spoke about in this upside-down world that we live in, this is what they're saying is success. And we talked about what success looks like in the kingdom of God. But I want to make something really, really clear. I promise you right now, this is it. This is it. This is the whole sermon. So if you were zoning out, I hear you. I do it sometimes too. Get this. God isn't asking you to be successful. God is asking you to be faithful. You got a long road ahead. And I've been doing youth ministry since 2005. And I can tell you all, honestly, not even knowing some of you, that God is calling you to be faithful. And if you are faithful, he's faithful to you. If you're faithful, your cake's going to taste great. If you're faithful, you will have fruit in your life. And when I say fruit, people will see you and say, I want what that guy has. I want what she has. I want what he has. And then you can bring others into the kingdom. If you are dependent on him, if you're content with what you have in him, and listen, when I say that, I'm not saying that you shouldn't strive to do the things he's calling you to do. When I say contentment, I'm saying don't go trying to strive to do the things that you want to do. And be faithfully submitted, doing what God is asking you to do and staying with him. Don't disconnect. Don't leave it. It's going to be easy to do it. You're going to have so many options, so many people saying, you don't need to do that anymore. You don't. Just remember, their cake tastes like doo-doo. The world's cake has got a little poo-poo in there. I'm serious. Who wants to eat that cake? Not me. Oh, it's just a little bit of doo-doo. No, I don't want any doo-doo in my cake. Hey, y'all, come on. Come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about. I'm giving a nice word for you today. I had a horse. Amish guy came over to my house the other day. He brings over his horse. He says, would you like to buy some strawberries? My wife said yes. Meanwhile, his horse decides to go to the bathroom all over my lawn. I don't want that in my lawn because my kids are in that lawn. It's the same thing with the cake. Don't screw up the ingredients. If you remain faithful to him, you don't have to worry about doo-doo in your cake. You don't have to worry about your cake tasting like nasty. Because God is saying, remain in me. Stay connected to the vine. You got to be dependent. You got to be content. Now listen, there's more things that come to this. But if you set your eyes on Jesus, if you continue to follow him and going to church, you continue to follow him and trying to be discipled by him, and there's lots of men and women in this room that can help you and grow, help you grow into the man and women that God is calling you to be. He is asking you to be faithful, not successful. He's asking you to build and bake a faithful cake by depending on him, by being content in what you have, thinking about the positive, and by giving up power and control to him. When we do those things, We're faithful. And Jesus calls that a success. Would you all stand with me this morning? The world's cake is something I don't want. I don't want it for your life. I don't want it for mine. I don't want it for anybody else in earshot of this. We need to put faithfully submitted into the batter of our lives, into the cake, because God knows the cake that we have the potential of. And even for you graduates, even for you in attendance, I believe the Lord is saying, hey, it's okay to throw out the batter that you have made already. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and you're like, you know, I've done it the wrong way. I believe Jesus is saying, hey, come over to the kitchen. Let's start baking a new cake. If you're here this morning and you thought, man, I just don't have what it takes. I've screwed up. Let's bake a new cake. If you're sitting there and you're like, you know, I haven't been content. I've been looking at the negative. If you're here this morning and you've been thinking, you know what, I have been incredibly independent. I don't depend on God. Let's throw all of that into the dumpster where it belongs and pick up the ingredients that God has called us to. Let's build a better cake. Let's bake a better cake. One that honors Him. One that has life. That's not empty. That's not full of discontent. Let's bake a better cake. Father, we come before you and we ask you, Lord, please, Father, we want to put the right ingredients into the cake of our lives. Lord, we know that the world is so, it's really the work of the enemy trying to get us to get off track, trying to get us disconnected from Him. Lord, we're praying, we're disconnected from the Lord. Lord, we're praying that we would be connected to you and our signal strength would be strong in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak that over these graduates today, these young adults. Lord, would they be faithfully submitted to you? Would they depend on you? Would they be content with all the things that you have given them in their lives? Lord, because we know that's what faithfulness is. We know you call that success. Lord, we believe your cake tastes great. And we want that, Lord. We want others to see that and say, I want that for my life. Lord, I pray that this wouldn't just be a message for these students or those here, but Lord, that we would take this, myself included, bake it into the cake of our lives and pursue you with everything we got so that others will be doing the same. Lord, let revival start here this morning. Let revival start here this morning. There's a lot of junk in this world. A lot of unhappy people. Lord, let us be content in what you've given us and what you're doing. We love you, Lord. And we commit these kids, we commit these young adults, these young men and women to your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.